Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today Masechta Sukha Daf Nun Dal, the fifth parak Helcholiel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara points out that the Mishnah and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that listed the 48 blasts that took place Erev Shabbos during the Chag mentions three blasts that took place by the Mizbeach and does not mention the three blasts that were sounded when the trumpeters reached the 10th step, which is described in the previous Mishnah and Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara answers that our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and the previous Mishnah is that of the Rabbanim. Rabbi Eliezer holds, came the Taka of Sichu Sha'arim, Lamala Siris Rami the Taka. Once they had blown for the opening of the gates, why blow at the 10th step, Hailav Sharhu? That's not a gate, and therefore not an appropriate location for blowing. Therefore, Al Gabi HaMizbeach Adif, sounding the three blasts at the Mizbeach, is preferable. The Rabbanim hold, came the Taka of Nili HaMaim, Al Gabi HaMizbeach Lamali. Since one blows to mark the water drawing, why blow at the side of the Mizbeach? Therefore, it's preferable to sound the three blasts at the 10th step. Rashi explains that doing it at the 10th step is associated to the water drawing. Pointing to the Mishnah and stated regarding the blowing of the Chatzrotzos, that Ubu Musafim Otesha, that there were another nine blows for the Musafim. When Rabbi Akiva bar Hanina arrived from the south, he brought the following brisa with him. The Pasuk states, B'nei Aaron HaKohanim Yisku B'Chatzrotzos, and the sons of Aaron, the Kohanim, they shall blow the trumpets. Now, the expression shall blow did not need to be stated, since it has already been stated in the same pasuk, Uskatim b'chatzrotzos al-olosechem v'al-zivchei shalmechem, and you shall blow the trumpets over your olos and shlamim. Now, what does the pasuk teach by stating, you shall blow? Hakol afi ha-musafim tokim. It teaches that we blow according to the musafim. Rabbi Yachim bar Chanin explained the brice as follows. Lomar shetokin al-kol musaf ha-musaf. It teaches that we blow a separate set of trumpet blasts for each and every musaf. Now, the Gemara will bring several challenges to this ruling, attempting to show that on certain days it would result in more than 48 maximum soundings of the Chatzrotzos mentioned in the Mishnah. Ultimately, Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina's opinion will be refuted. And point number three, when the Gemara challenges the maximum limit of 48 trumpet blasts from the case of Erev Pesach that fell on Shabbos, which would result in more, it answers that the Mishnah only mentions cases that occur every year. Now, the Gemara objects to this answer, since the case of 48 blasts that our Mishnah mentions is when Erev Shabbos falls during Sukkot. Sometimes it does not occur, such as when the first day of Sukkot falls on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara answers that when the first day of Sukkot is scheduled to fall on Erev Shabbos, Madchid Dechinle, we postpone it one day until Shabbos. Why is it postponed? Since if the first day of Sukkot falls on Erev Shabbos, then Yom Kippur would have been on the previous Sunday. In order to prevent that from happening, we add a day to Elul in order to postpone it one day. Rashi explains that it's not desirable for Yom Kippur to fall Shabbos, since anyone dying on Shabbos would remain unburied for 2 days until after Yom Kippur. Furthermore, any vegetables that one prepares to eat after Yom Kippur will have to be picked 2 days earlier on Friday and will wilt by the time they are needed. The Gemara will bring the opinion of others who do not hold of adjusting the calendar to prevent Yom Kippur from falling on a Sunday. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara points out that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that it listed the 48 blasts that took place Erev Shabbos during the Chag mentions three blasts that took place by the Mizbeach and does not mention the three blasts were sounded when the trumpeters reached the 10th step, which was described in the previous Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara answers that our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and the previous Mishnah is that of the Rabbanim. Rabbi Eliezer holds, came the Taka Psichu Sha'arim, Lamala Siris Rami the Taka. Once they had blown for the opening of the gates, why blow at the 10th step? I love Sharu. That's not a gate, and therefore not an appropriate location for blowing. Therefore, Al Gabi HaMizbeach Adiv, sounding the three blasts at the Mizbeach, is preferable. The Rabbanan hold, came the Taka Umil Yamayim Al Gabi Mizbeach Lamali. Since one blows to mark the water drawing, why blow at the side of the Mizbeach? Therefore, it's preferable to sound the three blasts at the 10th step. Rashi explains that doing it at the 10th step is associated to the water drawing. Pointing to the Mishnah and state regarding the blowing of the Chatzrotzos, that Ubu Musafim Otesha, that there were another nine blows for the Musafim. When Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina arrived from the south, he brought the following brisa with him. The Pasuk states, Ubnei Aaron HaKohanim Yisku B'Chatzrotzos, and the sons of Aaron the Kohanim, they shall blow the trumpets. Now, the expression shall blow did not need to be stated, since it has already been stated in the same pasuk, Uskatim b'chatzrosos ololosechem v'azivchei shalmechem, and you shall blow the trumpets over your olos and shlamim. What does the pasuk teach by stating, you shall blow? Hakol afi ha-musafim tokim. It teaches that we blow according to the musafim. Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina explained the brisa as follows. Lomar shetokin al kol musaf u'musaf. It teaches that we blow a separate set of trumpet blasts for each and every musaf. The Gemara will bring several challenges to this ruling, attempting to show that on certain days it would result in more than the 48 maximum soundings of the chatzrotzos mentioned in the Mishnah, and ultimately Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina's opinion will be refuted. And point number three, when the Gemara challenges the maximum limit of 48 trumpet blasts in the case of Erev Pesach that fell on Shabbos, which would result in more, it answers that the Mishnah only mentions cases that occur every year. Now the Gemara objects to this answer, since the case of 48 blasts that our Mishnah mentions is when Erev Shabbos falls during Sukkot. Sometimes that does not occur, such as when the first day of Sukkot falls on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara answers that when the first day of Sukkot is scheduled to fall on Erev Shabbos, matchin dechinule, we postpone it one day until Shabbos. Now, why is it postponed? Since if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos, then Yom Kippur would have been on the previous Sunday. In order to prevent that from happening, we add a day to Elul in order to postpone it one day. Rashi explains that it's not desirable for Yom Kippur to fall on Shabbos, since anyone dying on Shabbos would remain unburied for 2 days until after Yom Kippur. Furthermore, any vegetables that one prepares to eat after Yom Kippur will have to be picked 2 days earlier on Friday and will wilt by the time they are needed. The Gemara will bring the opinion of others who do not hold of adjusting the calendar to prevent Yom Kippur from falling on a Sunday. All right, so now we go to our Simber Daf Nun Dalet, and our standard simon is noodles. Noodles, so here goes. The noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles and then blow 9 times again for each additional offering changed the fast day schedule so he would never have to abstain from noodles on a Sunday. Once again, it's a motion. The noodle-loving king, noodle-loving king. That must be Ron Daf Nun Dalet. Noodles. The noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles, which reminds us, the Gemara points out that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that listed the 48 blasts that took place every Shabbos during the Chag mentions 3 blasts that took place by the Mizbeach, whereas the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis mentions the 3 blasts that were sounded when the trumpeters reached the 10th step. The Gemara explains that this Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov who holds that since the blowing was done at the gates, what relevance is there to blow on the 10th step? Therefore, the Mizbeach is adif, is preferable, and the previous Mishnah is Rabban who hold that since the blowing was for the water drawing, the 10th step is related to that, whereas the Mizbeach is not. So the noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles, and then blow 9 times again for each additional offering, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina brings a braisa and a pasuk which he uses to base his ruling that 9 blasts of the trumpets are done for each separate musaf. The Gemara will bring several challenges to this ruling, attempting to show that on certain days it would result in more than the 48 maximum soundings of the chatzrotzrotz mentioned in the Mishnah. So the noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step, when they offered him noodles, and then blow 9 times again for each additional offering, changed the fast day schedule so he would never have to abstain from noodles on a Sunday. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that when the first day of Sukkot is scheduled to fall on Erev Shabbos, matchin dechinule, we postpone it 1 day until Shabbos, since if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos, then Yom Kippur would have been on the previous Sunday. In order to prevent that from happening, we add a day to Elul in order to postpone it 1 day. Rashi explains that it's not desirable for Yom Kippur to fall Shabbos, since anyone dying on Shabbos would remain unburied for 2 days until after Yom Kippur. And furthermore, any vegetables that one prepares to eat after Yom Kippur will have to be picked 2 days earlier on Friday and will wilt by the time they're needed. The Gemara will bring the opinion of others who do not hold of adjusting the calendar to prevent Yom Kippur from falling on a Sunday. So once again, the noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles and then blow 9 times again for each additional offering changed the fast day schedule so he would never have to abstain from noodles on a Sunday. All right, now it's time for 4 Blah Bat Chazara. Daf Nun. So the Simmer Daf Nun is a nincompoop. So here goes. The nincompoop, nincompoop. That must be more on Daf Nun. The nincompoop who bumped into a golden barrel of unconsecrated water, which reminds us that just as Nisach HaMayim was performed on a weekday, it was performed on Shabbos, except that the Kohen would not draw the water from the Meshulach on Shabbos itself. Rather, on every Shabbos, he would fill a Chavishol Zahav She'enim Kodesh, an unconsecrated barrel from the Shiloh, and have it in the chamber used the next day. Ze'iri said the reason an unconsecrated barrel was used was because the Tamar Mishnah maintains that Kli Sharis Mekadshim Shiloh Medas, that a Kli Sharis sanctified the contents without intention. If one brought the water in a Kli Sharis on every Shabbos, it would become possible through Lina. Chizki said the Krisharis does not sanctify except with das. So there's no concern of actual wein. However, there were gozer that should be placed in an unconsecrated vessel, lest onlookers see the water in a Krisharis and assume it was sanctified with das. So the nincompoop who bumped into a golden barrel of unconsecrated water and dropped his flute into it, as a choir sang, which reminds us, the opening mission of the fifth parak states that the chalil, the flute playing that accompanied the Simchas Beis Shoshuev, was not Docher Shabbos Yantav. And the Gemara explains because it was merely there to enhance rejoicing, it's not a true avoda, and therefore not Docher Shabbos. Rav Yosef explained to Malchokas regarding the flute playing for the Shir Shal Karban, Rav Yosef Rav Yudah holds that it is Docher Shabbos because Iker Shir Bakli, the essential Shir, is with instruments, va'avodahi, and therefore it's deemed an avoda, and is Docher Shabbos. Whereas Rabban held it was not Docher Shabbos or Yantav because Iker Shir Bapeh, the essential Shir, is vocal, and the instrumental accompaniment is not an avoda, and so is not Docher Shabbos. So the nincompoop who bumped into a golden barrel of unconsecrated water and dropped his flute into it, as a choir sang, pulled out an ancient wooden one from his pocket, and continued on his way. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice regarding the suitability of clay shards that were fashioned from wood, Revi's postal them, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Yudas moksha them. Wamshan in the Machokas is whether Dunin Efshar Mishi Efshar, whether we can derive a possibility from an impossibility. Do we derive the suitability of wood for other clay shards where metal would serve as well, from the case of Moshe's wooden flute where metal would not have served as well, since a metal flute would not have sounded so sweet, or perhaps since the flute had to be made of reed, no proof can be brought for the other clay shards. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yudah's Moksha wooden vessels holds Dunin Efshar Mishi Efshar, whereas Rabbi, who is posting them, holds Lo Dunin Efshar Mishi Efshar. Daf Nunalf. So Sim Daf Nunalf is beaver pelt hats. So here goes. The Beaver Pelt Hat Society. Beaver Pelt Hats. That must be one Daf Nunalf. Nah. The Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation, which reminds us of the source we brought for the one who holds that Iker Shira Bakli, and for the other one who holds Iker Shira Bafeh. So the Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation, and fascinated by the stage that seemed to undulate like waves, which reminds us, whoever did not see the Simchas Beis Shoeva never saw Simcha in his days. Whoever didn't see Yerushalayim in its splendor, Lo Ra Krach Nechmad Ma'olam, never saw a delightful city in his life. Whoever did not see the base of Migdash when it stood, referring to the one built by Hurdos, never saw a binyan mefor, a magnificent structure in his life. The Gemara describes how the different color marble that was used made the walls appear like they were undulating, like waves. So the Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation, and fascinated by the stage walls that seemed to undulate like waves, sat in a section of the massive auditorium where poor Beaver Pelt Hat wears could find them. Which reminds us, whoever did not see the Diapostone of Alexandria Mitzrayim never saw the glory of Yisrael. It was a massive basilica. The Chazon HaKnesses need to stand on a platform in the center and wave a flag to indicate to people when to say Amen. And people sat in sections according to the profession. When a poor person came, he would find his fellow craftsmen and seek employment. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simmer Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The female newbies to Yiddishkeit who sat up in the balcony away from the men to hear a shir about the Yetzirah, which reminds us that Rav brought a pasuk from Zechariah's vision of the war of Gog and Magog and the Hespedim over the death of Mashiach ben Yosef, where the women and men were separated to teach that it was permissible to make the Tikkun Gadol, the balcony for the women in the Ezus Nashim, so they shouldn't mingle with the men at the Simchas Beis Shoeva. If in the future when the world will be involved in the Hesped and the Yetzirah has no power over them as it will be eradicated, yet the Torah said that the men and women should mourn separately, and all the more so at the Simchas Beis Shoeva when they are involved in Simcha and the Yetzirah has power over them, all the more so they should be separated. So the female newbies to Yiddishkeit who sat up in the balcony away from the men to hear a shir about the Yetzirah were shown pictures of mountains and strands of hair, which reminds us that there's a Malchus Ridos in the Rabban regarding the nature that has been mentioned above. One said it was over Mashiach ben Yosef who had been killed in battle, and one said it would be for the Yetzirah which would have been eradicated. The Gemara asks, why does the eradication of the Yetzirah warrant weeping? And answers, the Rebbe expanded that in the future Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Yetzirah and shecht it in the presence of Tzaddikim and the Rishayim. To the Tzaddikim, the Yetzirah will appear like a high mountain that can hardly be scaled, and to the Rishayim will appear like a strand of hair that can easily be snapped. They will both cry. That Tzaddikim will weep and say, how were we able to overcome such a high mountain? And the Rishayim will weep and say, how were we not able to overcome the strand of hair? So the female newbies to Yiddishkeit, who sat up in the balcony away from the men to hear a shir about the Yetzirah, were shown pictures of mountains and strands of hair, and taught the different meanings of its seven names. Which reminds us that Rav Avir expanded, others say it was Rabbi Shubin Levi, that Shiva Shem was Yeshua Yetzirah. The Yetzirah has seven different names. We also learn from the incident where Abai became despondent because he said he would have not been able to restrain himself from sin if he had been walking with a woman, was told by Eliyahu HaNavi, Kol Gadol Mechaveru Yitzro Gadol Hamenu. Whoever is greater than his fellow, his Yetzirah is greater than his fellows as well. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, Yitzro Shal Adam Yisgabro Lav B'chol Yom U'mevakesh Lav Miso. A man's Yetzirah threatens every day to overpower him and seeks to kill him. V'imalei Kodesh Baruch Hu She'ozer Lo Einu Yochel Lo. And if not for Kodesh Baruch Hu who aids him, he would be unable to withstand it. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince. That must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince who is mourning the loss of his two scribes, which reminds of Rabbi Yochanan said, Ragoy Dabar Inish Inun Arvingbe. A person's feet are his guarantors. Lasid the Mitzbae, Tamun Mavun Yasef. To where he's summoned, there they lead him. Rashi explains that when one's time comes, his feet bring him to the place where he's meant to die. The Gemara brings the incident of Shlomo Melch, who tried unsuccessfully to save his two scribes from the Malchum Mavis when he sent them to lose. So the Nigerian prince who was mourning the loss of his two scribes overheard nonstop rejoicing in a shul that lasted for 7 days straight, which reminds us it was taught in a brace where Bishuv Mechananya said that when we rejoice at the Simcha's Beis HaShaweva, our eyes would see no sleep for all of Sukkot, and proceeds to detail the activities that occurred from the beginning of the day through the night. The Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yeshua meant that they did not enjoy a proper sleep, for they would only doze on each other's shoulders. So the Nigerian prince, who was mourning the loss of his two scribes, overheard nonstop rejoicing in a shul that lasted for 7 days straight, featuring a massive orchestra that played on 15 steps. Which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis stated that during the Simchas Beis HaShaweva, the Levim, with their countless number of instruments, stood on the 15 steps that led down from the Ezer Sisrael to the Ezer Nashim, Keneged the Chamish Yisrei Shirah Malos Shebetehillim, Keneged the 15 Shirah Malos that are in Tehillim. The Gemara brings the source for the 15 Shirah Malos. When David HaMelech was excavating the pits beneath the Mizbech, the waters of the deep came up and threatened to flood the world. When David saw that the water had subsided to a depth of 16,000 amos after he had thrown a shard with Hashem's name on it, based on Achitofel's Kal Vachomer from the Sota, he said that the higher the water, the more moist and fertile the earth will be. So he recited the 15 Shirah Malos and brought the water back up 15,000 amos until there were only 1,000 amos below the earth's surface. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.